don't know if I'm ready for preaching with a stool. I might fall off of it and hurt myself. Too used to moving a little bit anyway. James chapter 4. We finally moved into James chapter 4. And the chapter talks about having the right kind of attitude, heart, and passion for Christ and one another. So turn me to James chapter 4. We're going to look at the first three verses this morning. You'll stand in God's honor as I read aloud. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Let's pray. God, here we are again, Lord. And we are here because we need you, Lord. And Father, as we continue in your word, in this study, in the book of James, Lord, help us to examine ourselves to see where we fall in these attitudes, Lord. And we just want to give you glory. And Father, do far more than we expect. Do what you want in our lives and in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the 1700s, there was an English ship that, they were bored. And they happened to be anchored close to a French castle that had a wall around the castle. And on top of the wall, they had statues of saints, Catholic saints from the church. And so, you know, they had some free time on their hands, so they loaded up the cannons with cannonballs, and they started firing those cannonballs at the saints, trying to see if they could hit the saints. And so they were shooting at the saints and used up their cannonballs, and then they received word that they were needed for battle. And so they went into battle, and they weren't outmaneuvered, and they weren't outmanned. They just didn't have any ammo left because they had used up their ammo firing at the saints. And this morning, the truth of the matter is, it would be nice to say that this section of Scripture was written to unbelievers, that it was written to people who have not been transformed by the power of Christ. But, guys, this is written to some church people. This is written to people who were not outside the body of Christ. These were written to people inside of the body of Christ. In the book of Philippians, verses 4, 1 through 3, it mentions a couple of ladies who were fighting with each other. And Euodia and Syntyche. And J. Vernon McGee renamed these ladies. He named them Odious and Soon Touchy. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes there are fights that break out in churches when we do not follow Christ. And so as we look at our scripture here, he says, hey, what causes these fights and quarrels that are among you? And these words refer to an outburst of hostility that occurs. It's interesting. You go back to chapter 3, verse 13. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. There, he says, hey, those of you guys who are out there, those among you who are wise, who have understanding, who are you? Here he says, hey, those of you among you who are out there, who are hard to get along with and always seem to want to start a fight, or a fight is around the corner. Hey, these were guys that were in the New Testament. These letters that Paul wrote, the different letters to Galatia, to Philippi, to the church at Ephesus, And of course, often we think about the church in Corinth. There were misunderstandings. There were conflicts. There were angry tempers. There was slander. There was disturbances that occurred. Trouble in the church. So this section of Scripture tells us, hey, what is the source? What are the origin of those troubles? He starts out here and he says, where they come from? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? And so the first place where they come from, mentioned here, are shameful desires. Some translations even mentions the fact of pleasures. It is picture here, though, not of good pleasures, but of bad pleasures, of dark desires. It actually comes from a word that we get hedonism out of, which is the basic idea of, oh man, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. I mean, enjoy what feels good. Go after what brings you pleasure, what makes you happy. In Luke chapter 8, we have the parable of the seed and the sower, and one of those mentioned is the one who is choked out by worry and by riches and by pleasures, and so their faith ends up being choked out. In Titus chapter 3, verse 3, it talks about those who were enslaved by various kinds of lusts and pleasures. Peter referred to false teachers who counted a pleasure to revel in their sin and to nurse their lusts. Paul told Timothy of those who are lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And yet when the Scripture talks about pleasure, it is not all negative. In Psalm 37 verse 4, he says, delight yourself in the Lord so that he will give you the desires of your heart. God does not want to punish us. He wants us to experience pleasure. He wants us to be fulfilled. He wants us to be satisfied. And even Paul said in the difficult times, he says, I desire to depart and to be with Christ, and yet I'm going to follow him if he leaves me here or he takes me there, and it's better to be with Christ, but he wants me here, and I'm going to serve him now for his pleasure. For his pleasure. The text here, though, indicates when it talks of desires, it is the picture of an army of desires that are at battle within you and want to take control of your life. That want to usurp the control that is meant to belong to God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, he says, dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from worldly desires that wage war against your soul. So the picture here is of those desires, or that battle for those types of pleasure. Secondly, he speaks about sinful desires. Notice in the next verse, you want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have, because you do not ask God. Could it be here that out of a mere lust, murder could occur? Hey, I read recently about a God follower in the Middle East who was married and appeared to be happy, but he ended up having an affair with another woman. And her husband served in the military. And it so happened that this guy had a good friend that served with this man in the military. And they set up this scheme that while they were in battle, that he would not come to his friend's aid, in the fiercest part of the battle. And so that's what happened. And this husband, this man was killed. And this plot was designed so that he could have this married woman to himself. And the guy's name was David, and the woman's name was Bathsheba. Maybe you've heard about him too. So yeah, it happens. It can happen even among God's people. And the picture here, when he talks about in the scriptures here of kill, and it could be translated overarchingly as to destroy. To destroy lives. To take away the blessings that God intends. Just like what Rachel sang about is how blessed that we are. And it's not just merely material blessings, but it is blessings in many ways that God intends for us. But those blessings can be snatched away by these sinful attitudes that can take charge. When the desires we chase are not God's desires, there is within us a longing or a craving for these desires that wage war against God. And for example, a good example of this is just going to the grocery store. Man, you go in the grocery store, and my favorite section of the grocery store is probably the frozen section where the ice cream is. Man, I love that section. And I remember years ago, I got depressed about something. I don't remember what it was. I got so depressed, I said, man, I need something. So I walked down that ice cream aisle, and I started looking through the Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And I looked for the one that had the highest concentration of fat grams in it. I said, I'm depressed. I need something that packs some punch. I think it had like 42 grams of fat in that little thing or something. So, you know, I probably lost a few days off of my life. But it did bring some temporary consolation in that time. But, you know, you go through the line and, you get chips or, you know, maybe you get ice cream and maybe some other stuff. And you're feeling guilty anyway because, you know, man, this is really not the kind of stuff I should eat. And you know, and then you come to the checkout line. What do they have at the checkout line, you know? They got these magazines, National Quarterly, what do they have? The Miracle Diet. You know, you're going to lose all this weight, you know, with this diet. But then, you know, you look further down, and you ever notice that those racks, you know, in the lines where you wait in the grocery store, they go all the way to the floor. And near the bottom, they don't have magazines, but they got candy. And you know what? That candy's not designed for the adults, you know, like me to reach, because if I get down that low, I might not get back up. But it's for the children who can, you know, grab that candy. So you pay for it. But the grocery store is designed to appeal to you so that you'll buy those products that you think that you gotta have that'll bring you some comfort. The word here that is used here when it talks about coveting is a word that speaks of no matter how much you get, you think you got to have more. As C.S. Lewis put it, it leads to more desiring and planning and feeling without ever finding satisfaction, an ever-increasing craving for an ever-diminishing pleasure. The only way to be satisfied is to have this. And yet God says the only way you'll be satisfied is to have me. I am the source of that satisfaction. So, you know, how do you make yourself miserable? Well, here are some ideas. Feed your shameful desires. Fantasize over forbidden fruit. Compartmentalize immoral thoughts and practices. Defend your sinful attitudes. Inwardly condemn those around you while at the same time coveting what they have and who they are, and how they look. Rejoice internally over the losses of others in the assembly. Great way to be miserable. Lastly, selfish desires. Look at verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Central word here is me, 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 me. you know, water's meant to flow out, and it's a stream of healthy water that provides what is needed. But when water flows in and the flow stops, it becomes stagnated and poisonous. And that's what happens with us when everything comes in and nothing goes out. When all we want is to receive and not willing to give of ourselves and what we have, we become stagnant and we suffer, and so do those around us. We become like the man who prayed, "Lord, bless only me. That's as far as I can see." That becomes our type of attitude. The picture here is a begging. It is a pleading with God. It is an intensity begging God for what you want. And the middle voice here, it's to beg for my benefit. No one else's, but my benefit. Spend on my pleasures. Selfish desires to make me look better, to comfort me. It was found years ago in a guy in the British Parliament, this prayer that he had written in one of his personal books. "O Lord, thou knowest that I have mine estates in the city of London, and likewise that I have lately purchased an estate in the county of Essex. I beseech thee to preserve the two counties from fire and earthquake, and as I have a mortgage in Hertfordshire, I beg of thee likewise to have an eye of compassion on that county. As for the rest of the counties, thou mayest deal with them as thou art pleased." The word that's used here in verse 3, that you may spend on your pleasures, it is the same verb that is used of the prodigal son, the lost son that went out and he spent his inheritance. He squandered it. He wasted it in his own pleasures, thinking only of himself. It is the idea of praying to God so that I get only what I want, when I want it, where I want it, and how I want it, regardless of what God wants about it, you know. That is the idea. It is treating God merely like He is a slot machine so that we can receive the big payout and so that we can win what we want. And yet God is so much more. In a collection of Puritan prayers, one of the Puritans wrote these words, "When thou wouldst guide me, I control myself. When thou wouldst be sovereign, I rule myself. When I should depend on thy provision, I supply myself. When I should submit to thy providence, I follow my own will. When I should honor and trust thee, I serve myself. Lord, it is my chief desire to bring my heart back to thee." In other words, regardless of the battle raging in there, there is that understanding, God, bring me back. God, unless you bring me back, God, I'm in trouble. And I'm moving in a direction that will not bring you pleasure and it will not help God's people, but it is giving the enemy what he wants. You see, God wants to bring us together, and the enemy wants to tear us apart. You see, God wants to build us up, and the enemy wants to tear us down. You see, God wants to heal us. The enemy wants to hurt us. God wants to save us. The enemy wants to destroy us. God wants to mend us. The enemy wants to break us. But we have a God who is victorious. We have a God who is raised from the dead. Let's pray. God, as we come to you and as we approach you, Father, we give you freedom, Lord, to check out our hearts, God. And as we think about this issue, Lord, of chasing after you, Lord, may that be our heartbeat. I pray anyone here, Father, that you have spoken to, that needs to do business before you. Father, maybe it is for the first time to say, Jesus, enter my heart, forgive me, Lord. Oh, God, I need you and what you provide, the forgiveness that you alone can offer. Father, what a great decision, Lord, the most important. Or, Father, for others of us who have strayed from where you intend for us to be, and we are not following you, and maybe we are shooting at the saints instead of seeking the Savior. And I pray, Father, that what a great time to come to grips with that, Lord, and to bow again before you at the altar. And Father, just to bring our hearts before you, Lord, so that you might work in us and through us for your ultimate glory. And Father, as we have a time that we call invitation or response, Father, really, it's just a time where we invite you to do business with us, Lord. We invite you to open our ears, to open our eyes, and open our hearts, that we would not be closed to what you might want to do, Lord. And so I just pray that you would be honored and glorified as we offer ourselves to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.